The next guidepost that I want to talk about is perfectionism. And while not everyone identifies as struggling with perfectionism or being a perfectionist, the culture that we live in is so edited and photoshopped and presented as perfect that even if it's not one of our personal struggles, it is absolutely something that we have to be mindful of as we're parenting our children. The first thing I want to do is I want to talk about what perfectionism is and what it isn't. And one of the things that I think is very helpful to understand is how we confuse perfectionism with healthy striving or striving for excellence. I'm someone who absolutely believes in giving things our best shot. And there are things that are important to me and places in my life and specific kinds of work that I want to do where I want to strive for excellence. I really want to give it my all. My expectations are high. And I want to go in and do it and really feel good about what I'm producing. That's healthy striving. That is very different than being perfect. Here's what I mean. In the research, we see that healthy striving is very internally driven. It's about me setting a goal for myself. It's about what I think, what I want to achieve, what I want to accomplish. Perfectionism, on the other hand, is 100% externally driven. Perfection is all about what will people think. And what's interesting is rather than driving us toward being better and doing better, perfectionism is actually simply a defense mechanism. I call it the 20-ton shield. Perfectionism is a shield that we carry with a thought process that says this: if I look perfect, live perfect, work perfect, and do it all perfectly, I can avoid or minimize feeling shame, blame, and judgment. I would argue that perfectionism is really close to being a process addiction. And the reason why I think perfectionism is so addictive is because when we ultimately feel judgment, shame, criticism, or blame, which we will, and as we just talked about in the last guidepost, certainly in this culture where criticism is so rampant, we're going to feel it. As a perfectionist, if I feel it, my thought process is not, oh, this perfectionism thing is not worth it. It doesn't work at all. Our thought process is, I wasn't perfect enough. Next time, I'm going to be really perfect. And we can never let it go. And I think it's dangerous because one of the things that happens in families is that perfectionism is incredibly contagious. I can't tell you how many parents I've interviewed who say, yes, I'm absolutely a perfectionist and it's paralyzing for me, but I'm really working hard to not pass that down to my children. It doesn't work like that. It absolutely does not. We cannot raise children who are more resilient to perfectionism than what we are. The visual I always have in families is just line those kids up, have them put their arms straight in the air, and just slip on those little perfectionism straitjackets one right after the other, because that's how we hand it down. Let me give you a great personal example. And by way of introduction, I'll say, hi, my name is Brené. I'm a recovering perfectionist. So Ellen comes home from school, and she is talking to me about kind of some of the mean girl stuff that's happening. And we're talking about one of her outfits. And she said, I said, why don't you wear this skirt anymore? And she said, no, my friend said that it's not the right skirt to wear now. And now we're all wearing this skirt. And I said, I thought you loved that skirt. And she said, I do, but I'm not going to wear it anymore because this is not what we're supposed to be wearing. And so, you know, right out of the textbook, I give her the whole talk about how you feel, what you believe is really more important than what other people think and feel. And if you love wearing it, I think you should be proud of it. And I think you should wear it. And she looks at me like, uh-huh. You know, I think I was making the Peanuts parent noise, like the wah-wah, wear the skirt. She doesn't react at all. So about 2 hours later, my husband comes in from doing the yard. And I, you know, he said, I'm going to jump in the shower. And I take a look outside to see kind of how it looked and what was going on. And I noticed that there are still Christmas lights wrapped around the banister. And I said, hey, babe, are you going to do the Christmas lights? And he said, yeah, not today. I'm wiped out. I'm going to take a shower. And I said, we need to get the Christmas lights off the banister. And he said, well, yeah, I'll do it, you know, in a few days. And I said, no, I'm getting ready to hang the metal heart for Valentine's Day. And I don't like it when, you know, the holidays collide outside. I don't like it when there's, you know, the heart for Valentine's Day and there's still Christmas lights. And I just don't like that. And he said, you've walked past those Christmas lights. I've had them turned off for the last 2 weeks. You didn't even notice them. And I say, right in front of Ellen, it doesn't matter if I didn't notice them. The neighbors will see the Christmas lights and the Valentine heart. And I don't like it when the, you know, the holidays clash outside. And Ellen looks up right at me and said, you know, if you feel good about the lights and you like the lights, you should probably leave the lights and not be worried about what the neighbors think. And I said, oh, my God, did I just do that? And she goes, yes, Mom, you did. And you see? And I said, oh, I did. And, you know, we had this long conversation about it's really hard to let go of what people think. And it's hard to let go of the shield because we don't want to stand there exposed and vulnerable. And at the same time, I think we get to a point in our lives where we have to ask what matters most, how I feel and who I am, or what other people think. And what I know to be true, at least in my own experiences and certainly from the research, is that if we are caught in perfectionism, if we are driven by what other people think, unintentionally or intentionally, we are handing that down as a priority to our children. And this is a good place to talk about a myth that I think gets in our way of parenting with our whole hearts. And the myth is that when we have our children, the goal is to have it all figured out, to be completely wholehearted. And then we have kids and we teach them how to be wholehearted. That's not true. You know, for most of us, our lives are more lived after children than before. You know, I had Ellen when I was 33. And since I've had her, I've finished my PhD. I've built a career. I've written books. You know, I've done all this incredible work. I've navigated some really hard personal things. You know, I've been making a marriage work. I mean, our lives don't stop when our kids are born. And it's how we live after they're born that defines how we're parenting. And so I don't have to have my perfectionism nailed down and fixed and solved. What I do have to do if I want to raise wholehearted children and be wholehearted myself is to have this conversation where, yeah, I just did exactly what I told you not to do. And let's talk about why that's important and why we're learning this together and how we can support each other.